G'day, I am Mordechai Becher.
And I am Yehoshua Kirsch.
And welcome to Two Rabbis and a Podcast.
Yes.
And we are continuing from last week. We were discussing the statement of the sages, which is actually seems to be implied in the Torah itself, in Parashat Toldot, Parashat Toldos, which is that Avraham apparently seems to have kept the Torah, even though it wasn't given yet. And we discussed various understandings of that. The Ramban Nachmanides, who says that was only in Israel. We have the Reb Chaim Volozhin Nefesh HaChaim, who says it was a matter of divine inspiration and based on prophecy. We have the Reb Chaim Zimmerman, who understood it as that Avraham was able to infer the Torah from the world. Sarah was able to infer it, understand it from her own soul. Those were some of the opinions we mentioned.
Also, Rashi, did you mention the Rashi one, which is that he just kept the whole 613?
Yeah. Rashi says very literally. And not only the 613 Torah commandments, but also even rabbinic commandments.
Yeah.
Right? So actually, one of our viewers, Levi Goldman, son of my good friend Avram Goldman from Philadelphia, sent me some sources, which, they seem to indicate, for example, that the Ramban Nachmanides does seem to imply in a couple of places that he's not sure if he takes it literally, right? which would actually fit, because the Ramban often does not accept a Midrash as literal, and often also gives different explanations in the verse from what is given in the Gemara and Medrash.
Right.
He does not feel bound to accept those explanations. And obviously in Halacha he does, but he doesn't feel bound to accept it in those ways.
But it's not clear that that's the case with the Ramban. It's just there's like you get some room to say that with the Ramban. You don't have to say that with the Ramban. Not at all clear.
The other point that he mentioned was a Kesef Mishnah, which with the Rambam, which we, I think, quoted, where we are told that Noach, Adam, was commanded in six commandments. Noach was added one more, which makes the seven Noahide laws. Avraham was commanded regarding Brit Milah, and he was the first to pray the morning service. Then Yitzchak separated out tithes from his property and prayed in the afternoon. And Yaakov his children did not eat the Gid Hanasher, the sciatic nerve, and he also prayed in the evening. So it's unclear if you know, when it says that Abraham prayed the morning service, I think it's pretty clear. It doesn't mean the Shemona Esra was not written until 2,000 years or a few thousand years later. Right.
Correct.
And they didn't actually have it. But he prayed in the morning, and the type of prayer he gave was a morning prayer. That was the prayer of opening up of reality, beginning, chesed, and so on.
Our Shemona Esrei captures whatever he was doing.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And Rav Moshe Shapiro was saying that there's a different type of prayer and a feeling to prayer in the morning, afternoon, and evening. Prayer in the morning is that reality has opened up. I'm feeling the chesed, right? The kindness of God, his outpouring, the sunlight, whatever it is, right? The evening is about faith, darkness. I'm tired. Things are obscure. There it's emunah, right? Baboker chazdecha, to speak of your kindness in the morning. Ve'emunatcha, your faith, balaylot, at night. And the afternoon service is that of transition. So even if it's the same words, which we say the same words of the Shemona Esra, the Amidah, but there is a different emotional feeling to each one of the prayers. At least there should be, I'm guessing, I would imagine. And anyway, this fellow quoted the Kesef Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Karo's commentary, who says that all these commandments, the Maimonides believes they did of their own volition. They were not commanded, the other commandment, right? And he quotes, I'm not sure where from, but the Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam, the Rambam's son, doesn't believe this is literal. means they kept basically the monotheistic. And you were mentioning to me about where we have references to people learning in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever.
Right.
What do we mean by that?
Yes, because it seemed to me that that is part of this conversation, or at least deserves to be talked about when we talk about this. What do we mean? I personally walked by the yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever in Tzfat. There was a little plaque by a cave where the Misrata Datot identified that particular cave as where the yeshiva of Shem and Aver was.
That's pretty amazing, considering the level of competence of government ministries, that they should be able to identify a cave from 5,000 years ago.
It's just amazing
500
how
years
they
ago.
do that.
It's beyond me. It's unbelievable. Our taxes at work.
That's it. Hats off
Amazing.
to the
So
people who did
was it
that.
a
Yes.
yeshiva, right? What were they studying there, right? It would appear, the least I would guess, the theology of monotheism, ideas of morality, the seven commandments of Noah. But I don't think it was even a yeshiva in the classic sense. Not like a building, people are sitting there with a curriculum. I don't know why, but I find that hard to believe.
It feels like an anachronism, something that you're taking and sort of putting back in time, because that even if, and of course there was study of some type. People are trying to grasp higher ideas and to live them, and there's mentoring, there's clear mentoring and things like that. But the idea of sitting, in fact, it is in my museum of things you would expect to find in the Torah, but do not. One of the exhibits is scholarship or scholars that you do not see in action. You do not see scholarship happening. You see teaching. You see the idea of a teacher and teaching. We refer to Moshe as Moshe Rabbeinu. He was our great teacher. Obviously, he's getting the Torah. He's teaching the Torah to others. But scholarship, where you're actually mastering ideas in the kind of settings that we associate with scholarship, you don't see that.
Yeah, look, it is standard, I think, maybe I'm projecting here, but I think it's standard human nature to project our own experiences onto something else,
Right.
right? So for example, you have I don't my you know again, this is designed for children, but it always did annoy me when the kids would come home from school with pictures from their parsha class of, let's say, the bris, the circumcision of Yitzchak, and of course Avram, and they're wearing shtreimels, right?
Course.
Shtreimels,
Yes.
seriously, it's the Middle East 4,000 years ago. Okay, right,
There's a
but
Sfas Emes. I think this is this Parsha. The Sfas Emes says, don't think Esav. It's either this
yes,
Parsha or
yeah, that, yeah, it goes back
Vayisaf.
earlier than the Sfas
Yeah.
Emes. Kotzka said it, some attribute
Okay.
it to the Ishbet, but yeah.
That he was wearing a shtreimel and Vayisazaken.
A white bekesha and a shtreimel, and he said Torah shalosh
Of course.
shudas. Yeah, but he wasn't saying it in,
Yes, of
expecting
course.
us to
Yeah.
believe that that's how Esav looked. What he
Right.
was saying is Esav was a respectable, looked like a respectable human being, right?
Right.
Again, also, we don't, I don't know, but the idea of a yeshiva, a house of study, and people sitting there with a teacher and students and some type of organization, again, seems somewhat of a stretch. And I don't think we're obligated to take it literally. We did speak about this in a previous podcast, which I expect everyone remembers verbatim, where we
Yes.
discussed whether Midrashim should be taken literally. And we said
Right.
the default position in Midrash and Agadata is it's not literal unless I'm told otherwise.
Right.
Default position in the text of the Torah is that it's literal unless unless I'm told otherwise,
And
right?
that's our rule. If somebody says, where did that come from? It just came from us. We are the source of that rule.
Well, we did quote sources like
Did we?
Maharal, Maimonides,
Whatever. I
okay.
feel like it's our rule. I think we should take it. Also, but again, just like I was sort of saying with Shmona Esrei, you could say a similar kind of thing here, which is what we're trying to capture, the experience we're trying to promote when we are sitting and learning in yeshiva. What we're trying to capture is something that they would have been trying to capture. This is our way of doing it. We have a this is our way of making that kind of connection with the divine, of understanding Hashem's will, of fully realizing our potential as Ovdei Hashem. What we're doing, we tend to do that in a school setting, or at least begin in a school kind of setting, like a, and but and they would have done it their way, but we're trying to do what they were doing. So therefore, if we call it this, it's just a it's a modern version of the same kind of thing that we expect that they were doing in some manner or form.
Yeah, agreed. And I was, I was thinking that when we actually study, we are trying to also capture the feeling of that Masorah of the tradition. We have a lot of verbal back and forth. We don't just sit there studying books in a quiet library. We have back and forth. We speak to a teacher, right? And I think there's fascinating that a number of the Rishonim, Machzor Vitri, from the students of Rashi in France and others, mentioned that there was an old custom. Now we're talking about he was 12th century, so he's saying at his time it was an ancient custom that when we teach children Torah, we encourage them to sway back and forth.
Moshe
He said.
Mordechai, by the way, expert on shuckling, world's expert on shuckling. Any question about shuckling you have, speak to Rabbi Beth.
Lisba'ea b'shas ha'limud, to shockle, to sway back and forth at the time of learning, as a as a as acting out Mount Sinai when the Jews were shaking in fear at the receiving of the Torah. So there is this idea of the transmission of Torah as if it's from Sinai and recapturing. It's experiential. It's not just information. There's the experience as well. Yeah.
I thought I remember Reb Moshe saying something to the effect when it came to the yeshiva with Yaakov Avinu learning at the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eber, that he was preparing to go to the house of Lavan. He would it, when he ends up at the house of Lavan, he will be in a different world. He's going to be leaving the world of his father, and he's going to be entering a world, the world of Lavan, and this is a completely different world. And so it's appropriate to be learning from Shem and Eber. Shem was on the Teva. He went from one world to another world, and Eber himself represents crossing over, so that by learning in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'eber, he's learning, preparing for the transition that's going to happen when he, in order for him to successfully live in the house of Lavan.
I just realized I've switched my video to mirror the screen, which I probably shouldn't have done. I apologize to our viewers for this horrific technological glitch, which I hope I've corrected now.
What would have happened? What do you think it
Well,
looked like
it just
on the
mirrors
screen?
the just mirrors the
Oh, it went
screen.
backwards?
But
Did
it's
you ever
not.
ask that yourself that question? Why does it go backwards but not upside down?
I think there is a setting to do it upside down. I'm not sure
Is
why
there?
anyone would
No,
do
but
that.
why in a mirror? You're looking in a mirror. In a mirror, it transposes,
Yes.
but only horizontally. Why doesn't it transpose you vertically?
Oh, I see. I do not know enough about how that works.
We expect somebody to give us the answer to that question
Hopefully, yes. Put it in the
in our
comments.
comment section.
Any electro-optics physicists, anyone expert in mirrors, light, propagation of light? I do know someone who actually has many, many. He's a He's a physicist, and his expertise is the propagation of light.
There you go.
And he's also a Torah scholar, and he has a many patents in this in the area of lasers and lights and etc. I could ask him.
Okay. I look
Yes.
forward to hearing the
You can
answer
ask him.
to
Yeah.
that. Okay, so that was the just a little bit about the Yeshiva of Shemin Aver. And again, we're talking about it because if we're talking about the Avos practicing Torah and intuiting Torah, so it would seem like the study of Yeshiva, in the Yeshiva Shemin Aver is somehow a connected a branch of that.
And obviously also there is the discussion as to whether technically they were Jewish or not.
Here we go.
So I think from a pure, and we know that there is the famous book Parashas Drochim by Yehuda Rosanus, the Mishnah who wrote a commentary on the Rambam. So the first part of his book traces many stories in the Torah and disputes and arguments to this fundamental question of whether the Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and the sons of Yaakov were considered Gentiles or were they Jews? Had they left the sphere of being Gentiles and they're now Jews? Now, I think it's pretty clear he didn't, I can't say for sure, but I don't think he meant this as pshat, simple reading of the verses. It's
Yeah,
To a
we
great
can.
degree, shashuim d'oraisa. It's
Yes.
delighting in the back and forth arguments, etc. I mean, technically speaking, if the Torah hasn't been, the Torah had not yet been given,
Correct.
and since the Torah had not yet been given, then halacha was not binding outside of the seven commandments of Noahide laws. And in the seven Noahide laws, there is no definition of Jew or non-Jew. The first
Right.
time we have a definition of Jew or non-Jew is when the Jews accept the Torah at Mount Sinai, and we now become a separate category from the rest of humanity called Jews. So it's very hard to say that, you know, certainly we're descendants of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And actually, I think Rav Huttner points out that even though it's true that every convert is like they are newborn, he says not quite true of the Jewish people at Sinai, because he says our conversion was not ex nihilo, out of nothing. We were converting at Sinai to Judaism and accepting the Torah because we came from Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, because we had the Exodus from Egypt and so on and so forth. So we are coming to that conversion with already baggage, with already an inheritance and a heritage that brings us to that point. So we're not quite like your regular convert.
Even the term ger, I mean, the term implies that somebody was not part of something and now became part of that thing. That implies the thing already exists. You're gonna, you, in other words, if it's just starting, if it's just beginning, we wouldn't call them gerim, we would call them avos.
Interesting. Although, as you know, the Gemara in Chrysos and the Rambam following that learn and derive all the laws of conversion from Sinai.
Right.
As the
Which
Jews at Sinai, the men had circumcision, so a convert has to have circumcision. As all the Jews at Sinai were purified, so every convert has to purify. As the Jews
Kabbalah
at
says
Sinai
mitzvahs.
accepted the Torah unconditionally, every convert has to do that. It happened in with a represent with Moshe. So we have to have a representative, i.e. body, i.e. the based in. So it is looked at as a form of conversion.
But it's funny, isn't it? I mean, because we you a conversion implies,
I
well,
was
maybe
once
not.
English.
Maybe not. The English
No.
word, doesn't so much because conversion could mean you change from one thing to another. It
Changing
doesn't have to
status.
mean the thing, right? You're changing status. But does ger, I mean, ger implies that at one point you were a stranger to something and now you've joined it. It seems to me like it's just a little bit funny,
Or
right?
you've become now a stranger to those who you're once part of.
Oh, I like that.
You know, in other
I
words, we
like
were
that.
once part of the world as a whole, and now
Oh,
we are to some level
nice, nice.
estranged. There's actually interesting because when the Jews were told, before we came out of Egypt, to every person should borrow stuff from their friends, every man from his friend, every woman from her friend. So it's type of interesting. There it's referring to borrowing stuff from the Egyptians.
Yeah.
And they're called re'echa, your
good
friend.
Friends.
Later on,
yeah.
in the Torah, we find the word re'a only refers to a fellow Jew.
Nice. Nice.
But so that would support this idea. Although I do know the Gaon of Vilna believes that the Jews were told to borrow from their fellow Jews, and by doing kindness to each other, that would arouse the kindness of the Egyptians.
That's beautiful.
But
I
there
don't
are
think
other
I ever heard that.
commentaries. Yeah, but
Nice.
there are other
I love
commentaries
that.
who say that Re'acha includes the Egyptians because it was the Torah was not yet given, so we were
Right.
part of the general
Right.
mix of humanity.
Right.
So, yeah, but it's a bit of a moot point because whether or not they were technically
Also,
Jews.
if you talk about Ger in that sense, that we became strange to others, the Torah does say that we were gerim in Mitzrayim.
But that, so ger can be used in a number of different ways.
Right.
We were
It could,
strangers in Egypt,
yeah, in a
right?
certain sense.
Strangers in a strange land,
Right.
right?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's true. But it's used in a number of ways. For
Yeah.
example, you've got ger toshav, a stranger in your gates. That's a
Right.
non-Jew who observes the Noahide laws who lives in Israel. Then
Right.
you've got
Resident alien.
Avraham Avinu, who's saying ger v'toshav anochi imachem. I'm
Yeah.
a stranger and I'm a dweller.
Paradox.
I'm a citizen or not a citizen. Then you've got the idea of a ger tzedek, which is a righteous convert
Right.
who becomes Jewish. So ger has different meanings.
Right.
I guess it's used in, right?
So just to go back, just to make sure our definition is solid. So yours, because if we're talking about who's the first Jew, so the question is, what do we mean when we say Jew? So you're saying a member of the special bris, the special covenant that the Jewish people made with Hashem at Har Sinai, that is one logical place to start, and that could be the definition. A Jew means somebody who's part of that bris. Now, there is another bris that Avraham makes, and there are people that were part of that bris that do not appear to be part of the bris at Sinai.
That was the Abrahamic Accords, version
Yes.
one, version
Yes.
one.
Because there you have Yishmael.
Yes.
And I'm assuming Yitzchak was had a bris.
The question
Had a
is,
bris.
so really it
I
could
mean,
be
not Yitzchak,
semantics.
Esav.
It could be,
Yishmael and
in
Esav.
other words,
Yeah.
you know, from a technical, halachic, legal point of view, it's pretty clear that being a Jew is Sinai onwards. From a genealogical and maybe a more philosophical perspective, you could say that Avraham was the first Jew.
With regard to
He's
this
part of
covenant, this bris,
a covenant with God,
this bris,
Bris
yeah.
Milah, and so on and so forth. You know, and the Jews at Sinai came to Sinai not as classic converts who come from, you know, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants in Nebraska and now are Jewish. They are coming from a heritage. I remember hearing from Shlomo Fisher, actually, that someone whose father is Jewish and mother is not, which halachically who is not Jewish at all,
Right.
but he said there is an element of Jewish, some sanctity of Israel, which would make it someone we should encourage to convert. I don't know if I
Remember
remember
we were at
quoting
that
him.
conference? We were at that conference in Boston,
Oh my
and
goodness.
there was there was but there was who is the Soloveitchik in Switzerland?
Was Moshe so? No.
Yeah, maybe it's from or some of it. Anyway, so it was his opinion that there was in fact a sort of imperative that people try to convert the family of some of a man who intermarried, because it's our attempt to try to repair
Oh, interesting.
what he had destroyed, or whatever, what he had broken, that we're trying to repair it. And so, to some degree, I remember it was, what was his name? He was a Soloveitchik in Switzerland. Anyway, so they were pushing that at that weird conference that we were both at. That was one of our funniest shared experiences. And we've had a lot of funny shared experiences,
Many, many.
but that one was right up there as
Oh,
one of
yeah.
the funniest.
No, that was.
But that was a theme of it, which is this: do we have some responsibility to try to fix what was messed up when a Jewish man marries, or both ways? I mean, it can
Yeah,
be
I
both ways,
think,
right? Both
well,
ways,
not both, because if it's a
I
Jewish
mean, she's
woman.
still married. She shouldn't be married to a Gentile. The
Yeah,
kids are not.
Rav Shlomo Fisher was saying, in terms of there's some level of kedusha, of sanctity of the Jewish people, even
That would
though
add to that.
halakhically not Jewish.
That
But
would add to that. Yeah.
interesting.
That means there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people in the United States that we don't think of as Jewish, but there's something. What he's saying is there's some element of Kedushas Yisrael, some type, some degree
Yeah, which
that
even
they
tried to
take with
make
them.
clear, from a legal perspective, not Jewish.
Right, but it might be that because there, unfortunately, are so many people like that now that are somehow, as they say, have Jewish blood in them. I went to Arkansas that one time when I went to Arkansas with Sippy. We were with this fellowship of people who were Christian but were trying to live like he lived. And so they were, one at a time, came over to tell me what percentage of Jewish blood they have in them. And it was a mark of pride that they have Jewish blood. They were very proud of it.
Well, there's a Spanish expression, limpieza de sangre, which means purity of blood, in which after 1391 and the riots in Spain, and many Jews converting to Christianity, and many of them keeping Judaism secretly. But what happened was, a lot of the Jews who had converted to Christianity, who just became Christians, were now able to compete with born Christians without legal barriers. And this became a little problematic, because the Jews were doing too well. So they had to create some new form of discrimination, not based on the religion. And so they came up with the idea that, yes, but these people don't have pure blood, so they shouldn't be allowed to be in this job, this position. It's that limpieza, the purity of blood. So I heard a story, Rabbi Professor David Berger, of Yeshiva University, brilliant scholar, probably one of the world's leading expert in Jewish Christian relations, medieval times. I mentioned this story. He was at he I'd mentioned this story.
I'm not sure. I'll
He
tell you when you
was
mention
in a library, I think it may be JTS Library, doing some research, and he sees a priest wearing priestly garments, studying a Hebrew manuscript. So he was interested, and he walked over to him. Turns out this priest is a priest from Spain, who is doing research. He's an academic, and he's researching Jewish manuscripts. He reads Hebrew and Aramaic, and he's very interested in Judaism, and he's doing some academic research. So Professor Berger is schmoozing with him, and in the course of the conversation, he asks him, he said, "The name, your surname, sounds somewhat, are you, do you have origins in the conversos, Jews who converted so many hundreds of years ago?" And the guy just intuitively proclaimed, "Oh, limpieza de sangre, I've got purity of blood."
I
Fascinating. This is a guy,
did not hear
21st century.
it.
Oh, he's clearly interested in Judaism. He reads Hebrew. He's come to New York to research Judaism. And he like exclaims, like, "Oh no, I have purity of blood."
Well, he might have himself been feeling guilty. Why is he so drawn to Jewish texts and
Yeah,
things like that? So he
maybe,
has,
maybe.
methinks, thus thou do
Protest too
protest
much.
too much.
Yes.
Yes.
Very, very
Thou
possible. Very
dost
possible.
protest too much.
Okay, so I
Yes.
think we've resolved all of the major questions in the book of Genesis now.
No, but so you so
Not.
at you are comfortably at you were saying that very likely when we speak of Judaism as we know it now, that began at Har Sinai. I mean, there are certain things before Har Sinai that we consider part of Torah, but they're really part of the glow of Har Sinai, we'll call it something like that. Because Mara, when we get Hilchos Shabbos and things like that, technically you're not at Sinai yet, but it's like some like the glow of Sinai or something, or the prologue to Sinai. But and then you were saying that on the other hand, there is legacy from Avraham that is unique to us, from the fact that we are descendants of Avraham and might be related to Bris Milah, that there, and Hashem's choosing him to be the father of what is eventually going to be the Jewish people, so that we are bringing some kind of legacy with us, but the what we call Jewish, what we think of as Jewish today, really technically starts over there. Now, you had mentioned something to me before about the special position of Yaakov, because we're called Bnei Yisrael. We're not called Bnei Avraham. We're called Bnei Yisrael. And you mentioned that there was, I remember you were mentioning a few days ago that there was something special about Yaakov, that
Oh, man.
something might have been different with or changed or separated at the time of Yaakov.
Well, first of all, yeah, I mean, we know that, let's say, Ishmael, son of Abraham, is not considered an ancestor of the Jewish people. Esav, son of Yitzchak, is out.
Right.
So it was possible to leave the fold at that point. What I mean, the way Rav Huttner puts it, he says Avraham was the first Jew by choice, even though technically not Jew.
Right.
Yitzchak, but he created that precedent.
Yeah.
So he is the father of many nations. He's the father of converts. Converts call themselves
The
Bnei
and the
Avraham.
Gemara, the Gemara calls him that,
Yeah,
the beginning
and
of
it's
all
interesting.
converts.
There's a Zohar that says that when Avraham and Sarah came, it says they brought with them hanafashot asher hanefesh asher asu b'charan, the souls that they
Right.
had created in Haran. So
Yeah.
we normally aren't, the Targum Onkelos says that those who they subjugated to the Torah, right, who brought into monotheism, etc. But the Zohar says, inasmuch as Avraham and Sarah lived as man and wife, but they didn't have physical children, this does not mean they didn't create souls through their living together. And the souls that they created, those are the souls that they created in Canaan, and those are the souls of converts in the future.
So you're
So
saying
they're more
that
literally.
you could have a couple, in theory, you could in theory have a couple that do not have physical children, as we understand, others, children as we would experience it on this plane of existence, but they are actually the parent of souls, and that those souls are children,
That's
as
how
it
the
were.
Zohar puts it. Which is pretty amazing. So that
Yeah.
means when a convert says Ben Avraham or Bat Avraham or
They
Ben
really
Sarah
are.
or Bat Sarah, they really are, according to the Zohar, genuinely. So anyway, the first Jew by choice, Avraham. What does Yitzchak add to the structure of the Jewish people? Because he says everyone who's an Av, a patriarch, is creating something in the structure of the Jewish nation. Avram creates the possibility of Jew by choice, a convert. Yitzchak is the firstborn Jew. He's automatically Jewish because of his, and Yaakov creates the Jewish family. the eternal Jewish family. He creates the Jewish family, which is eternal in the sense that even a Jew who strays, as go far away, as the Rambam puts it, even someone who's committed horrific acts of sin is always Jewish. You cannot escape that. You cannot leave that.
And that's family as opposed to friendship or belonging to a society, membership. It's not simply membership. It's a family. And that is somehow Yaakov is the
That's the
beginning of
priesthood.
that. And that's why we're called B'nai Yisrael. Because it's also funny that when we talk about Gerim being the children of Avraham and Sarah, if we're now saying that the Jewish people as we know it really begins at Har Sinai, and that what Avram represents is the beginning of something that eventually becomes the Jewish people. So it's interesting that they even have to go back to Avraham and Sarah. You would think they just have to go to Sinai. In other words, what they're joining is what happened at Har Sinai. But you see, not that we're not just saying that. For some reason, we're saying not only do they go back to what happened at Har Sinai, they go back
To Abraham and
to the
Sarah.
very beginning. They go back, and that there's something elemental, there's something extremely important that is happening with Avram and Sarah. There's a component of what becomes a Jewish people that you have to gather from Avram and Sarah. You can't just get it. You can't
Right,
just
like
get it
Rav
at
Huttner was
Sinai.
saying, we didn't come to Sinai ex nihilo from nothing. We came from that covenant. There's a beautiful one of the three questions that Ovadia, the Arab convert, Muslim convert, asked Maimonides. So one of the questions,
Abdullah?
what? Ovadia,
Abdullah.
Ovadia, Ovadia.
Same name, Abdullah, isn't
Well,
it? How come we don't have to say Kullah instead of, you know how they have that song, Inch Allah?
yes.
They have the, why shouldn't he have to say Inch Kullah?
Because I think because it's another language, it's a kinui.
But it's
It's a,
actually the word.
well, not really. It's a
It's
different language.
very close.
It's very close, but it's a different
Very,
language.
very close.
Granted, but it is a different language, so there's no obligation in a different
I
language.
feel we should have to say Inch Kullah. I
Well,
insist. Whenever my grandchildren or anybody sings that song, I insist that they sing Inch Kullah. My son is a wedding singer. He lost a lot of jobs because he had to say Inch Kullah and people didn't want to hire him, but he stuck to it. And that's why I love that kid. AY.
should have.
Avram Yosef Karsh, AY Karsh, does weddings.
Excellent,
Just call me or
great
contact me and I'll
voice.
get you. Yes, he
Excellent.
does. But that Inch Kullah thing lost him a lot of jobs.
Anyway, so I'm just gonna drink of ginger kale. Just one second. Oh, anyway, so but in any case, where were we? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so going back to
So the
the Avram
Rambam,
and the Har Sinai.
Ovadia asked the Rambam, when I say blessings, right, I feel a little uncomfortable. Can I say that you gave this land to my forefathers, our ancestors? Can I say the Shmoneh Esra, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, our father's God?
Benching.
He said, I feel very. So now, as you, there is a Mishnah that says that a convert cannot say those things in the context of the confession of Maaser, of tithes, but the Rambam quotes Yerushalmi, the Paskins that rules that a convert can say all of that. And the Rambam very eloquently says, he says, the covenant that was made with Avraham was made with his physical children and B'nai Besor, the members of his household. So you are also part of that Avraham's covenant by being a member of his household. And all the promises that were given to Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov are given to you. And so you can say all of those things, whether it's in public or private, whether you are leading prayers, whether you are a participant in prayers, right? You can say all the blessings exactly as every Jew says it. And then he says an interesting line. And by the way, this is not written in Arabic. This is written in Hebrew. So this is actually a direct quote. He says, Anu misyachasim, Anu mityachasim, la'Avraham Yitzhak v'Yaakov, we trace our genealogy back to Avraham Yitzhak and Yaakov. Amar v'hayah ha'olam, and you trace your genealogy back to he who spoke and created the world. It's sort of interesting that, you know, he's saying that as a compliment, but he does say beforehand that you are part of that covenant as well. So, right, there is something pre, but, you know, halacha, for example, does not stem from the patriarchs.
Right.
It stems from Sinai. That's the famous, the Rambam in his commentary on the Mishnah in Chulin, where he says there, and the context not that important, but it's about whether the prohibition of a sciatic nerve applies to a non-kosher animal. But he basically there says, I want to tell you a major principle. Anything we do in halacha, any obligation we have, is not because Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov did it. It's because we're commanded at Sinai to do something as Avraham did it. So if we would archaeologically find evidence that Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov played cricket,
right,
would not obligate us to test match.
What are Sheva Brachas? We know Sheva Brachas. We know Sheva Brachas from Yaakov.
But it would not
is Sheva Brachas del Reisa to have 7 days of Sheva Brachas?
And it doesn't obligate us. The Rambam is saying it doesn't obligate us. It's only obligated because Sinai, that's, according to Rabbi Reuven Margolius, that's the meaning when it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, it says, Moshe kibel Torah mesinai. Moses received the Torah, it's a chronological, from Sinai onwards. Torah is from Sinai onwards.
Nice.
Not beforehand. And you know, yeah, so it is unclear.
Yeah. Also, like our relationship to Noah or to any of those generations between Adam and Avraham, like Shem and Aver, who come up. So we think of them as somehow kindred, but this does seem to distinguish us, that we are somehow different, even than Noah, let's say, even than Shem and Aver, that we are different in existentially.
Because we have this covenantal group.
Which they weren't a part of.
Yeah. Although, type of interesting, I know in Hasidic sources, they refer to Noach as the Zeta, Halakha Zeta, the grandfather, the holy grandfather, you know. I don't know if we can infer anything from that, but yeah.
Because we don't say, for instance, that the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, we don't think of them as a legacy, like we do the Bris of Avram Avinu. We don't think that really this started with Adam, who has six mitzvahs, and Noah, who has the seventh mitzvah.
Although that's how the Rambam puts it.
But do we think of that way? That they too are part of our legacy?
Well, Rav Shlomo Fisher, in his Drush Beis Yishai, I'd have to look it up.
Which is not available right now in
it's
print.
It's almost never available. As soon as it becomes available, it becomes...
Mordechai buys all the copies.
A nanosecond afterwards, it becomes non-available. Right? So you have to literally be standing at the printing press and pull it out, risk your hands in the machinery to get it out of there. Tumble it, right? Yeah. In any case, I seem to remember there he says that there is debate about whether Jews are we obligated in the seven mitzvahs menach plus, or once we became Jewish, the seven mitzvahs menach no longer apply to us. We have a whole new set of obligations.
Just happen to cover them.
Which covers them, yes.
Right. But they're not them.
Yeah, so he, I think, relates it to the argument in the Gemara. There's a view, there's some Gemaras that seem to imply that anything which is permitted for a Jew must be permitted for a Ben Noach. Anything which is prohibited for a Ben Noach must be prohibited for a Jew. Right? Now, is that
a certain Arias, like, is that a, right. So Gairus, like after your Micaiah or something?
Yeah, is that a Siba or Siman? Is it like a indicator, right? If it was permitted for them, if it's permitted for a Jew, obviously must be permitted for them, or is it a Siba? It's a reason. In other words, if it's prohibited to a Ben Noach, It must be prohibited to
That's
me.
why it's prohibited
I'm
to
a super
us.
vénard, so to speak,
Right.
beyond
That's
that.
why it's
Frankly,
prohibited to us.
one of his drushim revolves around that. And I'm ashamed I don't remember the whole thing, but that's what he talks about there. We were going to, but we actually extended this discussion a little more than I thought. We're going to talk about some interesting Jewish books, or ancient, antique, interesting, but I think we're going to have to
We'll
leave
save
that for
that.
next time. We have to
Right. I
let
have one more question before we go,
I even
or
have this
before we wrap up.
stack of books here, but which we're not going to.
Right. But there was one little, like, just for housekeeping kind of thing, the issue of whether Goyim have Torah. Do Gentiles have Torah? Because we're told that if you're told that there is Torah by Gentiles, don't believe it. If you're told that there's Chochmah by Gentiles, believe it. But if you're told
Wisdom.
that there's Torah, but if you're told there's Torah by them, don't believe it. Now, Shem and Aver are Gentiles. So, I mean, we just said that they are, even if it's that
Not
something
gen
happened
te
at Avraham. Yeah, so what would you say to that? Because if he's learning in the Yeshiva of Shem and Aver, and they don't have Torah, so then
Are
he
they
would just
learning
be learning
Chochmah,
Chochmah,
wisdom?
right? Which is not nothing, but is that what we think? That he's only learning Chochmah? Maybe.
I don't
Maybe
know.
that's what we think.
My feeling
Yeah.
is, and I don't have explicit proof for this, is that the idea of the exclusion, or the Torah becoming exclusive to the Jewish people, I think was from Sinai onwards.
So that was another shift, because that doesn't. What you're saying, in some sense, is not that Torah is a revelation without precedent at the time of Sinai, but rather Torah was available to anybody with a pure who had purified themselves to a certain degree, or maybe you had to, maybe you won't say that, or but at least the people in that line from Adam until Avraham, at least they, somebody, let's say from that line,
Okay.
if they purified themselves to a certain degree, they would intuit Torah. And then when Sinai happens, it's now exclusive.
Morasha Kehilas Yaakov. It's an inheritance. The Gemara actually derives from that a non-Jew is not allowed to go in-depth study Torah because it's Morasha, it's our inheritance, which means that's theft. Or
Exclusive
it's
after. Yeah.
me'orasa or me'urasa, betrothed, right? So the Torah became betrothed to us, or it became bequeathed to us. I like that, bequeathed, right? To
Yes.
us, right?
It's the way you say it. Yeah.
And thank you, bequeathed. So it became bequeathed to us, or bestowed upon us, or betrothed to us. And in that sense, now it's
You
exclusively
should
ours.
say betrothed. If you're going to say bequeathed, you should say betrothed.
Betrothed. Sounds like I have a lisp.
Yes.
So okay, but in any case, I have a feeling again, I can't prove this, but I have a feeling that it might be a post-Sinai restriction that do
That
not,
was there and available.
and
But
always,
once Sinai happens and it's being revealed to everybody, then they can't even intuit it anymore.
but I'm not exact. I don't have a clear understanding of what it means. That there's no Torah. In other words, a non-Jew who is a good person who believes in God and studies Torah, are we saying any insight he comes up with is automatically wrong, or what does that
No,
even?
you could say it has the status of Chochmah.
But it's
It
not
doesn't
Torah.
have the status. Like I once asked Rav
Sefer
Moshe,
Torah.
I asked Rav Moshe about the 13 steps.
Oh yeah.
You know, the
Ben Franklin.
not those, the 12 steps, not the 13 steps.
Oh,
Yeah,
the
Ben
12 steps.
Franklin is
AA,
the
Alcoholics Anonymous.
yeah,
Okay.
the 12 steps. Yeah, so I asked him because Rabbi Twersky, Rav Shia Twersky, a blessed memory, he wrote a book where he showed how each one of those principles is found in Torah. So I asked Rav Moshe, does that mean that the 12 steps are Torah? And he laughed and he goes, no, it's Chochmah. It's Chochmah. Hashem gave it. There was a makkah, there was a disease or an illness that became prevalent in the world, and the Gentiles were afflicted by it. So Hashem sent Chochmah. He sent the refuah as a in the form of Chochmah in order to to deal with it. So somehow, even though you could find it, like in Torah, he was able. He said, "Nah, that it's the 12 steps is
So
it's
here's a
Chochmah."
question. Let's say I'm reading R. Travers Herford, the great British scholar, his commentary on Ethics of the Fathers, Pirkei Avot. Would not say a blessing of Torah study before reading that.
No.
Or Driver's Lexicon of the Old Testament and looking at
Driver's Briggs.
Briggs.
I have it right there. I have that.
You have that? I don't have it.
It's right there.
Okay, amazing. Okay.
I don't have a New Testament though,
Okay,
but I
well,
have that. Yeah. Brown's Driver's Briggs.
let's not get into that.
BDB. The BDB.
So this is not something that you would make a blessing on. This is
That's what
not
you'd
something
have to say.
we would not consider a Torah. I could take that book and perhaps read it in the bathroom in a filthy alleyway. I don't know. So is that what we're saying, that it's not in any way Torah? I have to know. I don't know. I have to look into it,
I
because
agree.
is
I
it
agree.
halakhic?
It is, once you
What
try to pin
exactly
it
does it
down,
mean?
when
What's
you
the
try to pin it down, it gets very
very hard to very hard
slippery.
to,
Gets slippery.
and you know, there's a book, the book Cheshbon HaNefesh,
Yes.
which became one of the Musar classics,
Based on Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's 13 principles.
which is literally taken straight out of, was it Ben Franklin?
Yes, his autobiography,
Ben
Benjamin Franklin's
Franklin,
autobiography.
exact. It's word for word, and
Right.
then Cheshbon HaNefesh gives it a Torah, gives it a complete Torah makeover. So
Yeah.
you read it, and you don't realize this is coming from a non-Jewish source, as wonderful as
Right.
he is, Ben Franklin,
Right. Yeah.
right? But it's is that now is Cheshbon HaNefesh Torah?
What about Shmona Prakim? The Rambam says there are elements of Shmona Prakim. What of some of the things he's saying in the Shmona Prakim, which is his introduction to Pirkei Avos? Some of the things he's saying there, he said he got it
Yeah.
from Goyim, and he
And
even says
Avram
over there, there's Chochma B'Goyim.
Chochma, the Chovas HaLevavos, will often quote the wise men who are clearly the Muslims amongst whom he lived. Avram ben Arambam in Hamaspic will often be quoting from the Sufis,
Yeah, I like that
right?
book very
And
much.
there's many of our Rishonim,
Right.
less of the Acharonim, but more of the
Right.
earlier sages, who will be quoting freely from non-Jews when it
So
comes.
let's say they are. Let's say I'm reading
Have they
what
now
they
transformed
did.
that?
Do I make Birkas HaTorah before
Is it like a
I read the
Ukrainian?
Rambam saying something about the
Soul.
Derech Haemtzoi or whatever, the Shvil
Is it like a Ukrainian drinking song that a Hasidic Rebbe heard and then converted the song to a Hasidic song, and
Right.
now it's been sanctified? Is
Right.
that a similar process? Right?
Right.
Maimonides quotes Aristotle. Avram ben
Right.
Arambam quotes the Sufis.
Right.
Chovas HaLevavos quotes the Muslim wise
Right.
people,
Right.
etc. And so now that they've quoted it, have they now given it the
Torah,
status of Torah
right.
to that it's I guess we would probably say that it has got the status of
But
Torah.
then what did the yeah, but Ramosha,
But then what does it mean by
yeah, he
he was
wasn't,
not didn't seem
no,
to agree with that? Okay.
yeah, I
This
don't know,
I have to look into this. I don't think I'll get to it by next
yeah,
week.
okay.
But God willing, next week we're gonna look at some maybe interesting or exotic books, in Jewish exotic books. And please, folks.
Would you include, in other words, this doesn't have to be something we have. It could be like the Aleppo Codex or
Oh, yeah, it
the
doesn't have to be something we
stuff
own.
like that. We could
Yeah,
talk about
I mean,
things like
I
that.
don't own anything that of that level of no, but we can talk about some. So, in any case, tune in to us next week, God willing, inshallah, and
Inshallah.
in color. Okay, whatever. Right, and please share and like and put in comments on
And
this.
if anybody knows why we are inverted in a mirror, but not upside down,
Yes, okay.
try to get that to us too.
Right. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Yeah. I may ask ChatGPT in the meantime, but okay. All right. Thank you
All
very
right.
much, everyone who's out there who's watching and viewing and listening and
We're
downloading
very
and
grateful.
sharing. We
Very
are very
grateful.
grateful, and just do more of that. Let's get it out there. And okay, God willing,
Be
we'll see
well.
you next week.
Yep, be well.